This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It is good to have you with us. And as we head into the summer months, there will be more and more people out there on the highways. And of course, one of the biggest problems we hear about nowadays and continue to talk about on our newscasts is driving, not intoxicated, but intexticated. AAA has a new campaign on this concern, distracted driving, particularly from texting. Of course, that's not the only distraction. But we're joined today by Andrea Higdon, the traffic safety community educator with AAA Mid-Atlantic. And we want to thank you for being with us again, Andrea, to help our listeners out, get them ready for the summer.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now, first of all, let's talk about that campaign. The first time I read it, I thought that was a typo. It's intexticated. So explain the campaign and what you're trying to do.
Yes. So the national campaign that we've launched is Don't Drive Intoxicated, Don't Drive Intexticated. So basically, we're trying to make driving while using your phone and texting just as socially unacceptable as drinking and driving. So, you know, the whole point is you wouldn't take your kids to school or, go to the grocery store with a beer in your hand and drink while you're driving, but you're holding that cell phone in your hand that's just as deadly.
And this is across the whole country, you said?
Well, it's in the Mid-Atlantic region Okay. Now that we are covering, but it has been a national campaign.
How widespread of a problem is this? I mean, it probably, I don't know, has it reached a peak and backed off because of education, or are we still have a long way to go?
I think we're still in the thick of it, because the problem is that parents are driving and texting while driving. So you have your children that are in the back that you assume are not paying attention. They're seeing this. They're seeing their parents being distracted on the phones. And then in turn, when they start to drive, then they pick up those bad habits.
I know my daughter lives on her tablet, but she's not driving yet.
Yes, that's
but
true.
She does seem to want to question her mother and her habits. Not that my wife texts
right.
and drives, but you know, anything with the phone, trying to, shall we call it not nosy, but
inquisitive,
and concerned. But do you find that really is a big problem? That you're really just parents are training a new generation to do the wrong thing.
Oh, absolutely. And it's kind of like do as I say, not as I do mentality, because we're telling kids, we're limiting their screen time. We're telling them that phones are bad, or that, you know, we can't be on this, we can't be on that. Yet we are so connected all the time to our phones. And that's a huge problem, because kids, you know, even though you think they're not paying attention, they are. And what you do will affect their habits.
And the laws have been changing. They've been implemented across the country, but they still vary for cell phones and texting. And where does that stand? Depending where I drive, what will I get a ticket for?
Right. Well, in Pennsylvania, so texting and driving is illegal in all 50 states. But in Pennsylvania, you can still hold a phone and talk to somebody on the phone, and it's perfectly legal. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is here. In other states, our neighboring states, Delaware, New Jersey, New York, it is a hands-free. Those are hands-free states, so you are not allowed to actually have your phone talk to somebody. It has to go through either your car, or you have to pull over and talk to somebody. Now, again, that's not a huge issue, because studies have shown that even though you are not holding the phone, you're still mentally distracted by talking to somebody. So I don't know how much that really is much safer.
Okay. Do you find, just like we've always heard people say, I'm a good driver, but the rest of them aren't. Do you find that with this too, that people say, well, you know, I know that guy can't text and drive, but I'm okay because I know what I'm doing and I can handle this okay.
Right. Absolutely. That's you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what happens. And not only that, you know, you get in your car and you text and drive and nothing happens, right? And then you do it again and nothing happens. So you tend to build this false sense of confidence where, oh, I'm really good at it. Nothing's ever going to happen to me. And unfortunately, we know that's not true, that people get into accidents all the time because of texting and driving.
My wife told somebody the other day that I was a good driver, and I thought, wow, that's a compliment, because you think, you know, usually you're the only one that tells yourself that.
Right. So. Everybody thinks they're a good driver, right?
I mean, there probably are people who would admit to not being good at it, but hey. And of course, distracted driving isn't just about the cell phone, although that has become the big one, probably what's brought it to our attention as an issue overall. What else is out there that that we commonly do? I mean, eating while we're driving. I know you see a lot of that, and that's, I don't know if it's illegal, but it's probably not the smartest.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Anything that takes your eyes and your mind away from the task of driving is considered a distraction. So that whether that be kids in your car that are fighting, or whether it be changing the radio station, eating, putting on makeup, you know, just daydreaming, having a phone conversation, you know, anything that will take your mind away from it. Passengers can, you know, even somebody right next to you can be a distraction. So there are tons of distractions out there. It's really hard to just focus on the task of driving these days.
It really is it takes effort, really, to not be distracted.
Absolutely.
Even if you're not on a phone or not eating or playing the guitar, as I heard a guy tell me, you know, there's always something. But I mean, I know I come in at 3 a.m. to work, and there's about 6 trucks, me and the rest of them are deer. Well, deer, especially in this part of the country, is a huge thing. And if you're not right on top of that, there's no guarantees anyway. But that certainly, I'm sure, is a big issue.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, like you said, at 3 a.m, not only do you have to worry about deer and other cars, but, you know, you're not at your best at 3 a.m. You're probably tired, you know, you've just gotten up, maybe a little groggy. So there's so many challenges when we think about driving and driving safely.
Sometimes you feel like you need a intravenous coffee at that hour just to get you going.
Yeah.
So that can definitely be an issue. But I guess the key, kind of get behind the wheel, but do everything you can to be focused. Don't like daydreaming is kind of a big one. You feel like I am on the road. I'm not doing anything, but your brain is somewhere else.
Absolutely. And it's happened. It's happened to all of us because we're so busy. We're, you know, as a society, we're so connected and we're so, you know, focused on, you know, emails and getting back to, you know, somebody's phone call or work or what we're going to cook for dinner. So we never stop and just do one task, the task of driving, which is super important.
And aren't there apps now for phones that will kind of shut them up while you're driving so you aren't tempted?
Yeah, absolutely. I know AT&T makes one. I'm sure all of the major carriers make one. The problem with those are you actually have to go in to the app. So let's say I'm going to get ready to drive. I get in my car. Before I even go, I go into the app, I turn it on, and then it will, you know, it'll start working. So it just doesn't automatically know you're in the car.
So if you use it, it takes a little effort there too.
It takes a little effort,
to make sure you're okay. And again, I would think with something like that, people are just going to say, well, I'll be good.
Yes.
I don't need the app. I'll just be good. But something about the call of the phone that just you feel like, well, maybe it's super important, or, you know, I got to find out what's going on.
Yes, absolutely. It's something, that ding we hear.
We wouldn't have thought 20 years ago, but yeah, we're kind of like Pavlov's dog. We hear the ding and we've got to grab that phone.
That's right, so, absolutely.
Yeah, I've been trying to get myself away from that habit, even if it's just in the drawer at home, but, you know, it's like, I don't need to know right now.
Or put it on silent, you don't even hear it.
Right. Somehow we survived 20 years ago and before.
Exactly.
So we can do it today and stay safe on the roads. Talk a bit more about parents and their kids, aside from the example. I mean, is this something that parents can do more about, and, something that you're doing as well as in your job as educator?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, parenting is hard. Nobody says it's easy. It's, you know, a daily struggle. And, you know, sometimes that phone is a great distraction for your kids, for yourself, but in the car is not the time to be distracted or to have that distraction. So, you know, even though it's really hard and we have to coordinate things, and we're super busy taking our kids from here to there to soccer practice, you know, getting everything done, it really is super important to set a good example early on so that they're not conflicted. Well, I'm hearing one thing at school saying it's not good to do this, but then I see mom doing it all the time or dad doing it, and, you know, it must be okay because they do it. So we really have to work together, you know, educators and parents, and have the same message. And it is hard. But at first it's difficult, but then it becomes a habit. And if you just put it away and make it a point to put it away, then I think it'll become easier.
As community educator, what all do you do? I mean, obviously you come to programs like this one, but you know, what else are you doing out there? How are you reaching people firsthand?
Well, we do everything. I do everything from installing car seats for new moms. We do elementary, middle school, high school programs, senior citizen programs, corporate events, radio stations. So really, we are the resource for the communities that we serve. So it doesn't matter the age range, the education. We go into the schools. We talk about not only distracted driving, but we talk about, for the younger kids that are not driving yet, we talk about how to be a responsible passenger, because that's part of it too. You know, not distracting that driver, maybe offering help so that they're not distracted or they're not on their phones constantly. So there's a lot of different programs that we provide.
Okay. Let's talk about a couple other things that we'll be seeing on the roads more in the summer. One of them, motorcycles. May is Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month. So give the people with four wheels some advice on how to deal with the two-wheeled people.
I mean, I would deal with them just like I deal with, you know, a regular car. But you have to remember, you have to give them an adequate amount of space, because they are, number one, that they're not in this big metal thing like we are that protects us. They, you know, they hopefully are wearing a helmet. It's sad that we have to say that, but, you know, not everybody wears a helmet, and it's not the law, so they don't technically have to wear a helmet, but hopefully they're protecting their heads. So, you know, give them adequate amount of space. And if you're nervous around them, I would just stay away from, you know, don't tailgate, don't get too close, because again, they can brake a lot faster than you can. So, you know, just give them space. You don't want to ever become, you know, too close where it could be, you know, a sticky situation with stopping or maybe rear-ending one of them.
Okay. I always sort of, if there's one near me, I think of it as, imagine it extended the length of a car.
Yes.
And then I start my following distance there, because like you said, it's, you know, it's not as far from front to back, and it's not protected.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's certainly more of these out in the summer. Oh, we're going to see a lot of that now. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Same with bicycles. And there's certain laws. I mean, I have friends that are big bikers and bicyclists and are very, you know, they have a very strong opinions on people driving and what they are allowed to do. So, you know, refresh us on that. How should those bicycles operate, and how should we treat them?
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you with the strong opinions, and rightfully so. You know, it is dangerous when you are on the side of a road on a bicycle and, you know, somebody else is in a car. So what we have to remember is you have to keep 4 feet from your car to the bike. So there always has to be maintaining 4 feet, which is really not that much distance when you think about it. And then bicyclists have to follow the rules of the road. That's another thing. So when you are on a bike, that is your vehicle. So you are on the right side of the road. When we're pedestrians, we go on the left side of the road. That way traffic comes toward us. They can see us. But when we're on a bike, we ride with traffic. We have to follow all traffic safety signals, everything. So stop sign, we stop at a stop sign. We have to do our universal hand signals for turning left, turning right, stopping, all of that. And, you know, just if there is a way where if you're passing a bicyclist, you know, if there's not a car coming on the other side, I would try to give them as much space as possible, because, you know, hopefully they are not distracted either. I've seen people on bikes with earbuds in there, you know, listening to music, which is super dangerous because you're not hearing the traffic and anything going on around you. So, you know, just keep that in mind too.
And I was taught not to do that back in the 80s when we had Walkmans or whatever the case was.
Sure.
But it's even easier to do that now and think you can get away with it because you don't have that much equipment to hold on to. So,
yes.
Any other tips for summer that you would want people to keep at the front of their minds as we head into the summer and the increased traffic of all kinds.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and that's one thing I was going to say. Just remember that there's a ton of traffic in the summertime because it's nice out. Everybody wants to go for a ride. We're going places. We're going on vacation. So just remember to, number one, stay off your phone. Try to not be distracted by other things in your car. Try to focus on the driving and try to be a defensive driver. That's super important. Back in the day, it was just, you know, you were a good driver. That was enough. But now it's not enough. We have to really be a defensive driver and keep our eyes out for things going on. You know, if you see that car in front of you that's, you know, swerving or maybe slowing down or, you know, keeps going out of their lane, they might be distracted. They might be texting. They might be under the influence. So, you know, just try to stay away from that.
And it can happen so quick, like just a few seconds is such a stretch, like a football field after how many seconds?
Yeah, 4.7 seconds is the average time it takes to read a text. So you're not looking for that amount of time, which is nothing. And at 55 miles an hour, you covered the length of a football field blindfolded.
And what if there's a car stopped in the road waiting to turn?
Yes.
You don't even know it's there.
Yes. Or what if the car in front of you breaks suddenly? I mean, it could be tragic.
And certainly has been. And I know I've read news stories of this type of thing, which is awful to read. You just, if we could all just pay attention, get in the car, think, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pay perfect attention and then do your best. I mean, I guess that's all we can do is do our best to keep our thoughts as well as our, hands focused on the road.
Yes. And, you know, just remember that just like you would never, ever think about, you know, drinking and then getting in your car and driving with your kids in it, you know, having that phone in your hand or texting or whatever you're doing with your children in the car is exactly the same.
So don't drive intoxicated this summer or intoxicated and pay attention. So thanks for being with us on the program, Andrea. We appreciate it.
Thank you. You're welcome.
If you tuned in late, we've been talking with Andrea Higdon, the traffic safety community educator with AAA Mid-Atlantic, here to get us ready for the roads of summer.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.